Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, the British Tech listener, and welcome to another edition of the iOS show on the British Network. You thought we were back, and then we maybe weren't, but we're here in part tonight, if that made any sense. Streak's not joining us. He apparently sounds like a bag of cogs. So that's grand. Good luck to you, Streak. It'll sort of be like those early episodes when Streak didn't really say very much. Just imagine he's here. He's just kind of hanging out in the background listening to us. We are, however, joined with the internet's favourite children's entertainer, Roddy McCleary.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I like the way you just said hello to the British tech listener, the one British tech listener. I'd like to think there are at least maybe five or something.
Well, logically, because the big show is currently getting recorded simultaneously, if we were to be streaming live, nobody would be listening to us because they'd all be listening to the big show. So I'm imagining that maybe one person, like my mum or something's listening.
It'll just be Streak.
If that...
He can't participate, but he needs to have contact from us. So. By pining like an abandoned dog.
And we also have the freshly bandaged Ian Mackay with us this evening. How are you, Ian? Dead, it would appear.
he's bled out.
Ian, are you there, Ian? He honestly was there. We checked before we started the show.
Right there. No, I am. I'm here.
Oh, he's here.
Yes, I was both software and hardware muted, which is not very clever. But yeah, I'm here. I'm not bleeding. I have not at any point in the last 2 weeks, in fact, been dead. So that's a bonus.
Yeah, fantastic.
But I did listen to the last show, and I have things to say, but I'll hang on to them for now.
Oh, God.
All right, okay.
Except, and what the hell kind of pot noodle do you call that, Paul Wheatley?
I really have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, and a pita bread.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I forgot amazing. We talked about that. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Civet and then a pita bread. Anyway, we're not going to go down that road again.
I thought we were going to go from Ian bleeding to the episode where Ian just loses it completely.
Pot noodles.
And finally,
I'm not going to take it anymore.
And finally, now, we had actually signed Alicia Keys for this episode, but sadly, BlackBerry have claimed that she can't appear on this show for legal reasons. So we had our last-minute fill-in of Anthony Williams, who is making a second return to the iOS show. Anthony, how are you this evening?
More beautiful than Alicia Keys.
Well, I'm going to have to take your word for that one, I'm afraid. But
I was going to say rugged, ruggedly handsome.
Well, cheers, Roddy.
Grand, okay. And so this is your second appearance, but it's actually the first one that I've been around for, because I think the last time you were on, I was off sick or my internet was not working or something like that.
Yeah, that was
I forget,
chaos,
but I was here anyway. Yeah, it was. I think, in fact, was that not Roddy's first foray in hosting?
That must have lost us a pile of listeners.
Anyway, on to the news. So the first article that we have here is that Apple is to release a 128GB iPad. What's our thoughts on this? Are we all going to jump up and down and snap one up?
No.
Okay, no. Moving on. iOS release.
it's an awful lot of storage for an iPad.
It is.
Because you only get 64 gigs on the base MacBook Air, so that's an iPad that's bigger than a MacBook Air, except in physical dimensions, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you see, the thing is, I'm going the other way. I'm actually starting to buy smaller iPads, because I don't even know what I've got now. I've either got a...
I think Roddy was about to say smaller iPads there before he cut out. Is everybody else still with us?
Right, I've got a smaller sized iPad than I had before. I'm sure I got the 32 gig originally, but I think I got the 16 last time, because with iTunes Match and everything, I can just stream. I'm not putting my music on there anymore. I do have 3G, to be fair, but I don't find I need as much space anymore.
You guys don't have kids or anything. It's always fun when you've got kids and you've got lots of TV programs to put on there.
That's a good point. But then 128 gigs worth? There must be some people who have a use case where they do need that much storage if they have lots and lots of films and stuff like that. But
yeah. I think that's the thing. It's more the people that take a lot of video content with them, or lots of those massive big apps, especially big games now. I mean, the games can run into the gigabytes now.
Also, I mean, you've got the... Interesting, it's the iPad, but I wonder if the iPhone is going to get 128 gig next, and that would be fairly useful for people who'd, you know, still bought iPod Classics, you know, 160 gig iPod Classic, and now they can finally move to something that has almost the same amount of storage.
That's the thing. I mean, using iCloud and iTunes in the cloud is great, but it's only as great as your internet connection at the time. It's painful. Especially if you live in a rural setting, to the minute you drop out of 3G, you just lose access to absolutely everything. So I can see a use case for it there, but I'd prefer to see an iPod Touch with 128 gig.
Okay.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same for my friend Alex. He's got more MP3s you can shake a stick at, and he bought an iPod Classic a couple of years ago because it was the only thing that got close to how much space he needed. And he said, well, he wouldn't buy one of the big iPads, but if they made a 128 gig iPhone or iPod Touch, he would buy it tomorrow. So,
well, he can go and buy it then.
Did everybody kind of push on without me there?
Yeah, yes, we just ignored you.
Were you gone, Paul?
I thought somebody else had gone, but anyway, the professional outfit that this is, we pushed on regardless. So.
Professional.
Where did we get to?
Well, I think we've decided that 128 gig is more than 64 gig.
Right. Okay. Good. Did you do that with math and stuff?
Speech was good. That was the one where he said the 128 gig iPad is actually the 64 gig one without the hidden partition for all of Scott Forstall's textures.
Very good.
we're not going to run out by the 128 now.
Not me, but people will. Somebody will. It's really expensive too, isn't it? You're up to. You could just buy a laptop for that. You'd really have to definitely want a tablet for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So iOS 6.1 has also been released. Not a huge amount here for British people. I suppose one of the biggest things is Fandango support for the States. There isn't a huge amount here for us, though, is there really?
Is Fandango the thing that was for movie tickets, is that right?
Yeah, movie tickets. Mm-hmm. So you've got LTE support for more carriers, mm-hmm. Which isn't really relevant for us because we only have EE at the moment and we already support that. iTunes Match subscribers. I was interested in this when I read this last night when I was downloading it. iTunes Match subscribers can now download individual songs from iCloud. I was under the impression I could do that anyway.
Yeah, I thought I could do that anyway.
Yeah.
You could if you went into the store and downloaded the individual tracks from there, but then you had to know which ones you'd already bought to avoid buying ones you hadn't.
Also, is this pre-bought songs? Because at the moment, like, if I've got a playlist of songs that I've maybe ripped at some point in the distant past, I know I can definitely download each of those separately.
So
what happened when iOS 6 came out, you used to be able to do this before in iOS 5, but the little cloud download icon that goes next to the individual tracks was obliterated in iOS 6. And so if you scroll to the very bottom, you got to download all of the tracks in the playlist or all of the tracks in the album, mm-hmm. but not individual tracks themselves. It's a restoration of functionality.
But then, you know what I hadn't noticed is that, yes, you could. You're quite right. It now has one download icon for the whole album that I'm looking at and not for the individual songs, but you can still stream the songs.
As far as I'm aware, yeah.
Which is why I didn't notice it, because I've still been listening to my music just like I normally would over 3G, and it didn't make any difference. But there would be a lot of reasons you would want to download stuff. So
how do you guys find the 3G? I mean, because I ran through my data allowance.
I did.
I think a matter of hours the one day I was actually using this.
I renewed my contract recently. I went up to 2 gig, and I've gone a month now listening to podcasts during the day and listening to music on the bus to and from work, and I've not had any alerts or anything like that, so I must be in the clear.
Yeah, I ran through, I think I was 0.2 at the time when iTunes Match first came out, and I hadn't switched that little switch to say only download iTunes content on a Wi-Fi network, mm-hmm. and I smashed through my allowance about 2-3 weeks into the month.
Yeah,
I probably spent the last month. Yeah. So I've kept that switch on now. So I only sync tracks when I'm in my Wi-Fi network. But to be honest, I'm really boring about that because I generally have one playlist and I will listen to that playlist relentlessly until I get bored of it, and like months and months and months, and then I'll make a new one.
And then it's all ABBA. Paul Dancing Queen Wheatley there.
All ABBA, all the time. So, that's cool. Maybe it's just that I've never actually tried to do the one track download since I upgraded to iOS 6, but here you go.
Have there been any tales of 6.1 breaking anything? It's like.
Yeah. There's got to be something. It's never going to work for everybody. That's just how it works.
I did see on Twitter that someone I followed got in some kind of horrible upgrade loop on their phone, but then I think that's coming
to... Was that Alan? Oh, no. Alan, there was a guy I know who's a developer, and his iPad updated itself while he was out of work and then said it couldn't access the right update servers, so it was basically bricked. Whoops. Which he wasn't very happy about.
I can imagine him being displeased by that.
Yes.
So no horror reports yet?
No, that I've seen.
Other than the one I've just related to you.
So. Apart from that one, what's
but that wasn't. That was more the. I don't see how that is. This the same Alan that I know, or is this a different Alan? I know an Alan that's a developer that knows Roddy, but I didn't know he knew Ian.
I know the Alan that I know that you know,
but this is a different Alan that Ian knows and I don't know.
Oh, I don't know that Alan.
is it Alan F that we're talking about?
No.
Then it's not that the Alan. W.
Right. Okay. Nope.
This must be thrilling.
I think we have a show title as well.
Do you listen to the iOS show? Is your name Alan? We want to hear from you. Tell us some stories about being Alan.
Are you a developer?
If you've been affected by our discussion of Alan this evening.
Very good.
Right, come on, Paul, more
is
news.
The time, yes, say the moving on thing.
I'm hungry for news.
So Apple have patented smart shoes, apparently.
Moving on.
So this is an article by TechCrunch. Apple has been dabbling in wearable tech, at least when it comes to the US Patent Office. In a new application covered on a Thursday Apple Insider, Apple has filed for a patent covering so-called, quote, smart shoes systems, which feature sensors that can track wear and usage and tell you when you need to replace them. Charting your progress on a companion app for the mobile device or via built-in LED lights, speakers, or displays. Well,
literally nothing to say about this.
I think if that's an actual thing, then there's going to be a Clark's entry in Passbook soon. Your loyalty card for your brogues.
Why did you put this on the list, Paul? Why?
What are you doing to us? This has to be some kind of sick joke.
Scandals where the shoes will tell you they're worn out long before they actually are, or things.
Well, it says in it that it's basically all to kind of just track usage and things like that. But then when it talks about later on, you've got a mobile device via built-in LED light speakers or displays. So it's going to be like an LED or LCD display in the back that just flashes, change me, replace me. This is bizarre.
Does that have different notifications for whether it's complete replacement or you could get away with going to a cobbler?
That would be an Apple Store cobbler, of course.
do we know how much Apple Care will be? Because, you know, most of my shoes don't actually last 3 years, so that could be quite a good deal.
Mm-hmm. In association with Kiwi Polish.
Okay, I'll move on again. We'll leave that one behind. So Apple TV, there's a couple of things around Apple TV. First of all, hold the presses. The next Apple TV might be fractionally smaller, according to Apple Insider.
It's not.
Why not?
Does that help? Apparently, the FCC submission showed it as something like 3.69 inches rather than 3.9 inches, which the current edge of the Apple TV 3 is. But I believe Apple actually have confirmed that the size is not changing.
They have issued an official denial.
Denial issued. So basically what's happening is it's the logic board's been redone. And I think the antenna for wireless and whatever were integrated into the logic board, sorry. Now they're slightly separate antenna. single rather than double antenna. I think all this is that it's 3.2 rather than the Apple TV 3.1, so it's in the same generation. It's not an Apple TV 4. And I think Tim Cook's been doing his supply chain magic, and he's found a cheaper way to make Apple TVs while keeping them the same price.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
And while confusing the FCC.
Quickly, tell us about some numbers, Ian.
Okay, did you know Apple released some quarterly results, and they have sold... Yeah.
Those are the wrong numbers. Can I quickly use one number?
Do a number, go on.
5. It was the A5, but with a single core in the Apple TV 3, and now it's the Apple A5X chip, so it has better graphics in the quietly updated Apple TV 3.2. That was a number.
It was nothing to do with Apple's quarterly results. So
go and do your quarterly results.
Very quickly, they've sold over 500 million iOS devices. And there's another stat that says over 300 million of them are now running iOS 6, which is quite a few. But over the last quarter, they sold something like 1.7 million iPads every week, which is quite a lot of iPads.
Where did they all come from?
China.
China.
Did you not know?
I just thought there was a tree or something. I don't know.
That is Tim Cook's plan. That's his supply chain. 5 years from now, all Apple's growing on trees.
This technology doesn't grow on trees. Ha ha, yes it does. I'm Tim Cook. He'd say dancing excitedly from foot to foot.
Okay, moving on. So the competition. RIM released BlackBerry 10 yesterday and was released on Q10 and Z10 devices. What's our thoughts on this, gentlemen?
Yes.
It's certainly interesting, and my much prettier namesake, the new creative director.
That's an odd move.
It's a bizarre old move, that is. I really, really hope from a developer standpoint that it does well, but I can't see it happening myself. It just feels really, really odd that it's taken them this long to catch up with a device that just doesn't set the world on fire. There's nothing new about it. It's just, here's something we should have done 3 years ago.
But they've been talking about BlackBerry 10 for a long time, and I think they've been desperately trying to spend time doing it right, so it'll reverse their fortunes. But maybe they've just spent a little bit too long, because the world of tech doesn't stop moving just because you're working on your fancy shiny thing.
But it's the same thing with Windows Phone. It's the same thing with WebOS in the past. Everyone spent their time making their version of the future, and I don't know. I think that the iOS share of the market and Android share of the market is going to be so difficult to claw back.
Mm-hmm. But then I think for those businesses that are still absolutely bought into BlackBerry, it's a great upgrade. I think it'll keep people who are using who do have to use a BlackBerry for business happy, that can get a slightly fancier phone.
Absolutely. I mean, I think. Well, if you look at what Brian Lamb said in the Wirecutter, he said, you should not buy this phone unless you've emotional or cultural reasons to love BlackBerry, or some arcane enterprise reason that I will not pretend to understand. And that is that's a pretty damning verdict for a new technology to have come out and been absolutely trashed on day one.
But the kids love them, because it's got that BlackBerry Messenger,
BBM.
So they can all coordinate for rioting and stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
You've got to think that these companies, and it's the same with the Mozilla phone that we're going to talk about in a second as well, but all they're doing is just doing a Me Too phone. You kind of help but think that, why didn't somebody say, hold fire, guys, if we're going to release this in 6 months' time, maybe we want to be aiming for technology that will be a year from now, and try and actually bring out something that's beyond now, because all they're doing is just kind of going, look, we've got another thing that's just ever so slightly different, because the interface sort of looks like somebody's taken Android, old BlackBerry and Windows and just kind of smashed them together and hoped for the best. You've still got that same kind of tiled screen, you've still got the same kind of, well, this is not the same, but the Windows kind of boxes and cubes with kind of stuff happening, widgets and things like that.
The biggest criticism I can level at the BlackBerry phone is that the interface just looks boring. It's uninspired. Nobody's going to want it.
Do you not want to touch it, Ian?
No, thank you, Ruddy. I'll leave that for you.
The BlackBerry. Do you also BlackBerry 10 apparently doesn't run legacy BlackBerry applications?
Really?
I'm sure I read that today. But they're saying that they have 70,000 applications ready for launch. And from what I'm reading in the tech press, most of them are bobbins. But good on them for, you know, if they are having to do a fresh start on apps, good on them for at least getting 70,000 of something out there.
Was there not some talk about apps, having though. Some sort of layer in there that would let them run Android apps on there?
Yeah, they've got that. You can program in C or C++. You can program straight Java. You can use BlackBerry Java or Android Java or Delvec as it is, and it supports HTML applications and Adobe Air as well. So you can program pretty much whatever you like for it. But it's good that they can actually use the existing stock of Android applications. But I guess it remains to be seen how well they work.
Sorry, Paul, you carry on. No, please.
I'm desperate.
I was just going to gazump you and go on to the next bit of news about them, because they've changed their name from RIM, or Research in Motion, and they're now called BlackBerry, which is good, because that was a silly name and it didn't sound clean.
And my favorite was their careers website.
Yes, yes.
What was it called, Anthony? Will you tell us? You tell us out
rim
loud.
Rim.jobs, there you go.
Because obviously that sounds like having your alloy wheels cleaned.
Indeed,
well,
it does.
Of course.
Couldn't mean anything else.
Presumably their stock is still RAM, I would imagine.
No, they've changed it. They have changed it. It's like BBRY, I think.
Yes, it's BBRY.
BBRY.
All right, okay.
It's Daylight BBRY.
And now moving from RIM to the just alluded to the Mozilla phone. So Mozilla have launched the Firefox phone, and for me, this we spoke about this in the big show last week, but this just sort of falls into that same category of let's just try and do something the same. All the cool kids, and what I mean by that is the cool companies, are making phones. We should do one too, and they just bring out a sort of. I think it's actually worse than the BlackBerry phone when you look at it, because the specs aren't even there. Because you kind of think that the market that they're going for here is possibly the dev market that wants to kind of play your kind of Raspberry Pi type people. They want to have a fiddle with a phone. That was fun to say quickly. And it's just the hardware is just crap. The operating system looks rubbish. I don't get this at all. I don't get the logic here at all.
It's going to be purchased by people with neck beards. It's like, you know, I'm all for free open source software and, you know, everything like that. And this will all be for people who go, I don't want to be locked into an ecosystem. I don't want a walled garden, which is basically BlackBerry, iOS, and there's another one called. I'm supposed to know about these things. Windows Phone is actually what I was thinking of. Right. Android less so, but, you know, I guess this is the holy grail for them. They can have a phone that, you know, they can just use entirely the command prompt. And
but the hardware is just crap on it, though. It's not even, like, reasonably new hardware.
But then they don't care. They're still riding. They're riding a bike from the 1980s. And they wear sandals, and these people. Have a wash.
So
I'm thinking that you can actually simulate it from within Firefox on your browser as well, if I'm right.
So you can just
you can actually install the Firefox OS simulator from, I think it's the Mozilla add-on.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Basically, the entire OS is written using web technologies, and so the dialer is built in JavaScript, which is quite impressive. But you kind of wonder, well, why are they doing that? I actually know one of the guys who's working on it here in Edinburgh, and I did have a quick chat to him about it, but I still don't really understand. So I don't know.
I totally want that if you could run it in a window and actually make phone calls on it. So I don't think I've ever used a decent voice over IP client on the desktop. Obviously, you can't make phone calls through but, you know, if you could, in my imagination, that would be a good thing. I have a very vivid imagination.
Do you think this is maybe for the kind of the grandma market, whereby granny goes into a shop, a phone shop or something like that, and the man behind the desk is going, do you want an iPhone? It's going to cost you 50 quid a month. Or all these other things that you've never heard of. And they say Firefox, and just something sparks that they've heard somebody talk about Firefox being good. And they don't need powerful phones or anything like that. and it might just...
Yeah, but you're missing the thing there, Paul, that they won't say that because they're being paid lots of money by Samsung to market their phones.
Very true. Was that a nice segue?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Do it, Paul.
If you want to just ride on it, go ahead.
Lock in.
I can't find the article that we could segue into here.
Just make one up.
British retailers recommend Samsung over Apple. That was smooth.
That's so smooth. Like butter.
So, Samsung is recommended more often by British retailers than Apple, with BlackBerry and LG having almost no presence, according to new research. This was The Telegraph reporting about a week ago. So basically this is phone shops and things like that in the UK are actually being pushed to sell, or what's the word I'm looking for? Commission? Given commission?
All right.
Okay. Giveaway.
Backhand.
All those things. To sell Samsung products over Apple products. This isn't really all that surprising. It's interesting in the sense that somebody has now actually proved it, but it's kind of been something that we've all sort of suspected for quite some time, isn't it?
I think most of the Samsung phones are the last one out of all the smartphones I'd probably consider of the proper smartphones, so I'm not surprised they're pushing them.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I played with an S3 the other day, and while I wouldn't jump away from Apple necessarily for it, it wasn't a bad-looking phone. I mean, it's kind of plasticky and stuff like that, but it wasn't a bad-looking phone.
But it's all the bobbins that Samsung put on Android. It's, you know, there are much nicer, unmolested Android handsets out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I had a play with one of the Nexus 4s, and they're very, very nice. It's a very, if you're going to go Android, that would definitely.
Yeah, but they're made by LG, not Samsung.
Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, the Nexus 4 is beautiful.
I quite fancy one of them, and you can actually buy them again now, which is nice. Mm. To put that in context, what's interesting about Samsung is the amount of money they spend on marketing and advertising. Yes, it's numbers. Apple's in 2012 spent about $1 billion on advertising. Would you like to guess how much Samsung spent in total on marketing and advertising in 2012?
£73.
$11.5 billion.
And 3 packets of salt and vinegar frisks.
Like more than 10 times as much as Apple spent on advertising, Samsung spent on marketing and advertising. They spend like 4 times as much as Coca-Cola spent on advertising in a year.
What are they actually... Are they paying for every single resident of citizen of China to dress as a town crier and wander around ringing bells? Hear ye, Samsung, Galaxy S3.
Their success is not an organic thing. People aren't going out and saying, oh, I really want Samsung. But Samsung are pushing really, really hard to get those sales. And it's working. You can't knock the strategy. But they're spending incredible amounts of money to do it.
I guess they're trying to target the market of people who don't know what they want. There's a very large portion of consumers that they know they want an Apple handset, or they know they don't want an Apple handset, or for whatever reason that they've made their choice. But Samsung are actively trying to use every trick in the book to get every other person to buy one of their devices. And there's no lying. But, you know, the numbers seem to be proving that Samsung's Android devices are the most popular ones there.
Ultimately, in 20 years' time, the cold metal fingers of a robot that's squeezing the life out of your body, that robot will have Samsung branding on it, won't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Yes. In this article, the bit that surprised me the most, over and above the whole Samsung phones getting pushed over Apple stuff, was in this article, The Telegraph, it suggests that the researchers that did all this stuff here visited all your standard ones, Everything Everywhere, O2, 3, PC World, Carphone, Warehouse, and Phones for You. But they also visited John Lewis and Maplin's. Hmm. When did John Lewis and Maplin start selling phones?
I wasn't even aware that Maplin did.
Maplin sells tablets, so it wouldn't entirely surprise me.
They sell their own tablets.
Yeah.
I was in the Maplin's on Dalry Road probably about 3 weeks ago, and I don't recall seeing any mobile phones in that Dalry Road in Edinburgh, I should say. I don't recall seeing any mobile phones in there. I have to say, that's probably the only Maplin's I've ever been in. But
the cheapest HDMI cable's about 19 quid as well.
Yeah.
But you can buy the parts for one for a fiver.
Exactly. Can we get on to the really funny bit of the competition? I can't wait, this is too funny.
They've laid me up for another one again, and I can't see which one.
Come on, this is the funniest thing that's happened probably in my entire life.
I have marked it helpfully, Paul, with Watt 2.
Watt 2. Okay, hold on, hold on. I'll get there in a minute. What colour are you?
Are you almost there? The climactic moment, Paul.
Microsoft Surface Legends.
That groaning noise wasn't encouraging. Go on, say the words, Paul. Read the thing out.
I can't see where Watt 2... Oh, wait, I'll see. Microsoft 64GB Surface Pro only has 23GB of usable space.
Oh, Microsoft are stupid and they're funny.
64GB Surface Pro. So this is an article from The Verge, who says that it will only have 23GB of usable space. It's the Surface Pro that's due out in February the 9th. And this is a company spokesperson has actually confirmed to The Verge that this is actually true.
Yeah,
so this
right.
isn't even a case of somebody taking a test unit and making an assumption. Microsoft have actually confirmed with this.
And for perspective, the 128GB Surface, which Surface Pro, which I guess we could see is vaguely analogous to the iPad 128GB, it's got 83GB of usable space. Now, I think iOS takes up something like 1.5GB on your average device. And you do, for all of these, to be fair to Microsoft, the formatted capacity of all of these is going to be slightly lower, but not to the level of ridiculousness that Microsoft...
What's taking up 40+ gigabytes?
Well, 8 gig of it
is... recovery partition.
Yeah, 8 gig, I think, for recovery partition.
Yeah, because the Surface Pro is the x86 version, so it's the full fat Office and the full fat Windows... Yeah, so they all come with Office, don't they, all the Surfaces?
Do you know what I really liked is that the Register, who are, you know, and they've got this massive anti-Apple bias, so I think they were refused a review by Apple once or something like that. So a friend of mine passed me a link from the Register defending the Surface Pro thing, saying, well, you can stick a micro SD card into it. And I was thinking, well, that's true. Yeah, you could expand the memory with the storage with microSD. But firstly, you've still just been conned out of storage. Yeah. Then you're having to pay extra money to get a little card to plug it in. And that microSD card is going to run far slower than the storage you should have had in the device in the first place. So it's a bit of a specious argument.
Yeah. Apparently, Microsoft says it's not all bad, though, because you can create a bootable USB and delete the recovery partition, which will get you 8GB back.
Or you could spend $200 less and buy the 128GB iPad.
Exactly.
I'm still getting the feeling that Microsoft aren't really understanding this concept of a consumer device yet, are they?
I don't think they understand any concepts.
No, I don't think so.
Even if you, draw them on a wall for them. like buffalo and men throwing spears at the buffalo. Do you think they get that?
Oh, they're funny. Is it just me? Because I'm intrigued by the Surface. I'd really like to get my hands on one and have a wee play a boot. But is it me or the Surface Pro a lot thicker? It looked pretty chunky.
You've got to watch out for that kickstand because, you know, you'll lose your fingers or other appendages.
Is that your way of saying it's thicker? No.
Maybe.
You're a little bit coy there. Do you know something?
I was just going to say that an acquaintance of Paul's and mine has ordered one. Has he got it yet, Paul?
Right, okay. We're going to have to do the... Is that Alan again? Who are we talking about?
It's Alan.
Mr. Saunders.
Oh, I've not spoke to Mr. Saunders in a few weeks, so no, I don't know.
Check you, Mr. Sociable.
I know. He's not working beside me anymore.
He misses you, Paul.
He does. I imagine he probably does.
Well, you've let him go and buy a Surface because of that now, Paul. That's on you. That's on you.
But I want to know how thick it is. And I want you to show me the Surface Pro.
The Surface, right, okay. Not
the Surface looks okay, but the Surface Pro looks very thick. When they have it in all the photographs of it, they have a clever angle to make it look thinner, but it looks chunky. And I wonder as well if, the Samsung reference tablet they gave out for Windows 8, if that had a fan in it, and I wonder if the Surface Pro has a fan as well. That would be a turn-off for me in a tablet.
You know, for all the bad things that people... I've heard both good and bad things about the Surface thing, but I love the stand that it has integrated in it, albeit I'm sure I would break it in seconds. And I love the keyboard in the cover.
Yes, I think the...
Awesome ideas.
What's the sort of pro keyboard, the better one, looks, yeah, with a little bit of movement in it, looks more appealing, yeah, I think.
But yeah, so it's Wikipedia says that the Surface, the non-pro Surface, is 9.4 millimetres thick.
Mm-hmm.
And the Surface Pro is 13 millimetres thick, so it is considerably thicker than the normal Surface.
It really is. That's a thick Surface.
Oh, yes.
So, the trouble gusset. I think we've pretty much covered everything in the competition section. So we got a few questions of the Trouble Gusset. Thank you very much for contacting us and asking us these questions. Remember, if you have any questions about iOS or, you know, well, let's take a punt. Let's say if you have any questions about any mobile devices, anything at all, Android, Microsoft, RIM, we will do our best to answer the questions. But I've got to tell you, you probably will only get answers to the iOS ones. The rest will just be Roddy making up nonsense. Okay?
You should also send in some maths puzzles for Ian.
Hell yes.
Really big, hard sums.
So the first one is from Rory Fisher. So thank you, Rory, for emailing us in. Every time I plug my iPhone in, I get a whole bunch of apps I have deleted every time. Anthony, I believe you had an answer to this.
Yeah, so this happens if you've got all the apps synchronized to iTunes. So the easiest way to do it is just pop into iTunes before you hook up your device and delete the apps that you don't want. Or, alternatively, you can plug your device in and you'll see a wee screen that shows all the apps that you've got installed. You just need to untick the ones that you don't want anymore.
All right, so deleting them off the device doesn't do that. It's because you've maybe got sync all apps.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Is if you're still synchronizing through iTunes with a physical cable, then yeah, it will do that.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so that should solve your problem there, Rory. The next question is from Scott Allen. I want a stylus that works. Recommendations? So that's not really a question. That's more of a request. But we'll let you off this time, Scott.
I've got one that I got from Amazon that's quite good, but I'm not sure if I'd recommend it. I can't remember what it's called now. I don't have it in front of me. I didn't prepare very well for this podcast. So, but it's one that kind of extends when you pull it. So it's
so you just give it a quick tug, and it's
you do indeed. And it's got a little cap on it that you can plug into
things. It's got a soft round end.
That's exactly what it has.
Is it velvety to the touch?
not how it was advertised, at any rate.
Come in a wide variety of colours.
And I think it does. I use the Dotnet Jot Pro. I really, really like it.
I've used one of those. They're very good.
I think it particularly works really, really well with the app Notes Plus. So it kind of depends on what you want to do with it. There's a lot of different things. So probably going to go in a couple other recommendations here. But
I've also heard good things about the Wacom Bamboo Stylus. I was going to get one of them, but it wasn't available in the UK when I bought. So
yeah, I was speaking.
You can get both of those ones for £23 or something on Amazon, I think. Some guy at work's just bought one, and they were very both of those.
Yeah, I've got the Adonis Drop Pro, and I was it was a colleague of mine today actually was just showing me his Wacom Bamboo stylus, and he was very, very chuffed with it. I think to more accurately answer your question, Scott, I think we really need to understand what you're trying to do with it, because it's horses for courses at the end of the day. If you're wanting to take notes in meetings, then I personally would recommend the Adonis Drop Pro. If you're wanting to draw with it or something like that, I'd maybe go with something that's got maybe a wider tip, or one of the ones that actually like little paintbrushes and things like that. There's all sorts of different things. So whatever one Ian was recommending there, that's one. And then there's also the Wacom Bamboo and the Adonis Drop Pro are probably good ones. But unfortunately, we can't help you any further with getting your hands on the one that Ian's got.
You keep your hands off my stylus.
Should also point out that if you use a stylus with an Apple device, then the ghost of Steve Jobs will haunt you. He'll be angry. Oh, he'll be angry.
But he'll tell you blew it.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. So much innuendo. Right. The next one, this next question is another question. We really get questions from females. Thank you very much, for Jane, for emailing in here. How do I get the password on your... How do I get text password on your iOS devices? I just have the 4-number password.
That one's an easy one. So if you go into settings, then go into general, then go into passcode lock, and you'll be asked for your password if you've got one. And then you just turn the toggle, turn simple passcode off, and then you'll be able to change your password to anything you like.
Great. Cool. So that answers your question. That was quick and easy there. And the final question is here. I'm sorry, guys, in the show notes, I've just realised that when I pasted it in earlier on, it's only pasted half of it in for some reason. So I will...
Helpful.
Yes, I know. This one here is from Gordon Andrews, so thank you, Gordon. Clicked a link in an article, took me to the US iTunes store, now stuck there, can't purchase, and then that's where it stops on the notes here. But it goes on to say, or update any of my apps, it just keeps telling me I'm in the wrong store. I can't see a setting inside iTunes or App Store in the settings panel to fix this. What do I do?
Okay, this one, I think what you have to do is if you go into general and then settings again, if you go into the settings app and then go down to iTunes and app stores, you'll see where it says Apple ID, and then it will give you the option to sign out. Then sign in again with your UK account. It should say this account is only valid in the UK store, and it will take you there. Fingers crossed.
I tested that today, actually. I clicked on a link to take me to the US iTunes store and just went through that process, and that does work. Does the job.
Super duper.
Perfectly. So that is all of our trouble, Gusset. If you have anything that you want to know and you want us to answer, please do email in or tweet any of us. Although I don't think anybody has ever tweeted us with a Trouble Gusset question. Oh no, one person has. Sorry, I forget. But generally they come through email. So that's britishtechnews@gmail.com. Now, moving on to our tips section. We appear to only have two tips this week. Ian and Anthony, do you want to think of one while me and Roddy do ours, or you want to take a pass this week?
I've got one.
I'll have a quick think.
Okay. Roddy, you go for yours first then.
Oh, I was just trying to get a page up so I could talk about the thing without messing it up. It's not specifically... an iOS tip, but it's something I've been doing an awful lot of recently. I know that those words are going to get you worried, Paul. But what I've been doing is, I think I mentioned as one of my picks a while back, Pushover, which is a customizable notification app for your iPhone or iPad. It is £2.99, I think, and I'd only been using it for notifications from app.net, which is, sort of almost Twitter-like. Now, I've been using it for when I got, replies or mentions or new followers, because none of the apps I was using had that functionality. So I was using it for a very specific thing. But I've recently started using it more with ifttt.com, which is ifthisthenthat.com. What you can do is basically you can create your own recipes based on events, which... very, very useful. You could, you could have it that every time you do a favorite on Twitter, it sends that favorite to your email, if you're using it for bookmarking. So you could do all these clever recipes, but then with Pushover, you can also have notifications. So you can have one tied into the weather to tell you to bring an umbrella. You could have ones from, I'm trying to think of any. This is why I was trying to get all these lists up. You could have one to tell you that a new thing had been put into a shared folder in Dropbox. You could have one if there are new posts from blogs you liked. All these kind of things. They have dozens and dozens of different channels. It's really, really cool. If you play around with it, you can make some very interesting things and then bombard yourself with notifications. Make yourself feel popular. You could make everyone think that you had a girlfriend by having notifications sent every time there's a new BBC News article, and you can, as your phone's going off, go, oh, it's my sexy girlfriend again. I'll just have to read all these loving text messages from her.
The only downside with If This Then That recently, and it's not If This Then That's fault, you can't use any Twitter-related stuff in your recipes, which you used to be able to do, and I found that very...
I think it's only going out the way. You're allowed to send stuff into Twitter, but not out.
But yeah. So very cool. My tip is actually, it comes from my father, whose home button has ceased working or is intermittently working on his iPhone. As a stop app until he decides to go and get a new iPhone, he's discovered that what you can do is if you switch on assistive touch, which is basically you go into your settings, into general, into accessibility, and then if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a thing that says assistive touch. Now it'll be off. Switch it on, and what that does is it creates a little, probably about maybe just smaller than 1 centimeter squared, kind of opaque box on your screen, which you can then move about by tapping and dragging. And if you tap it, you then have the option to fire up Siri, go to your favourites, go home, or to do all sorts of other things like rotate the screen, screen lock, volume up, volume down, and mute your phone. So that basically gives you a software version of the home button. Very handy.
That's an interesting one, because I've got a friend of mine who's done that, and it's very, very good. However, There is another thing you can do in that particular case. I'm not going to just everyone goes out and buys a Canon WD-40 to do this, because it may or may not work and may or may not break your phone. So if your phone's under warranty, take it to the Apple store. They'll repair it. If you don't want to risk the damaging of your phone beyond all levels of belief, take it to the Apple store. But friends of mine have in the past used the tiniest amount of WD-40 sprayed into the home button and then just rub it in and click it around a little bit, and that has in some cases brought the home button back to life.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's another option. But they're both
I'm
of those...
not taking any responsibility for anyone's phones against them.
Yes. Ian, what is your tip for this week?
I'm not sure if you've had this one on the show before, but if you go into the preferences on your iOS device and into keyboards, there's something down the bottom which is shortcuts, and you can program in, the one that they've programmed in as an example is OMW, and if you tap that into any text field on the iOS device, it will expand to On My Way. And you can program in any expansions you like on that. It's if you use a Mac, there's a program called Text Expander that does a very similar thing that's quite popular, but this is actually built into iOS devices. So if there's stuff you type quite often, stick it in there.
Very good. Very good. And Anthony, have you got a tip for us?
Mine is for people who have children. And if you've got applications that you want your kids to use, there's a really good feature in iOS 6 called Guided Access. If you just go into Settings, General, and then Accessibility, and then you turn Guided Access on, what you can do then is triple-click your home button, and it will lock people into that application and also allow you to draw on the screen areas that you don't want them to be able to click onto or tap onto. Super useful for when you've got kids and you don't want them to be buggering around in other areas of the device.
The little sods.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
Next
very good.
Time, Anthony will tell us how to get out of guided access mode.
You can never get out of guided access.
Now, here's an interesting thing, because it's funny you say that, Ian, because actually there are times when iOS does get confused, and the only way to get out of it is to hold down the power button and the home button to reset the device. So that's a bug which I have followed the radar for. Hmm.
Are you inside an enormous packet of crisps?
I might well be.
Sounds like you're trying to wrestle your way out of a packet of Quavers.
So this podcast and all the others are brought to you by UK2. If you want to use any of their fantastic services, simply head on over to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the sponsors link, and you will then see all the voucher codes there to give you money off VPS, VPN, domains, all sorts of other great stuff. If you click on the link there as well, now that's quite important, because it's good that UK2 see us, see that we're sending you to UK2, because otherwise they just think somebody got the voucher codes off a forum or something like that. So then go in and then fill your basket and then pop in all the voucher codes you want and then check out with UK2. They are absolutely fantastic. They've been sponsoring British Tech Network now for a few years, and they fully intend to sponsor them for a little bit longer. So thank you very much, UK2. They support British Tech, and we would appreciate if you would support them too. So, gentlemen, now on to your plops this week. So,
can we please rename this bit? It's bad enough we've got one section called Trouble Gusset. Plops as well. My God.
Well, okay. Well, answers in a postcard. What we're going to change this section to. But meantime, This is our anti-picks, so our passes, whatever you want to call it. Roddy, what is your anti-pick?
Mine is...
Sorry, before we go, we could call it skips, which is picks backwards.
Well, it's not quite, but not, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Okay, skips. It's now named skips. Well done, Ian.
So do the thing now.
Yes, please.
I don't have all day. Right. My skip for today is Milk the Cow, which is mercifully free and is available in the iTunes store. That's the iTunes store. Now, Milk the Cow lured me in through the promise of tugging excitedly at a teat. It has its icon, has a set of three ripe-looking udders for you to pull on. And so I thought this could be a good kind of lactic challenge. So I've downloaded Milk the Cow, and so I've got an option here, start milking. So that's what I want to do. Now, it's got a timer at the top. I'm actually going to milk. So I don't know if you can hear this. Can you hear? I'm milking. There are four teats here on the udder. I'm milking them into a bucket. The white frothy spume is shooting out in all directions. And this is rubbish, right? There's a timer at the top counting up. And I thought there was some kind of I thought if I stopped milking for a little bit, it would say, oh, you failed the challenge. It doesn't do that. As I'm milking these into the bucket, there's an advert for Wonga at the bottom. So there doesn't seem to be any way to win or lose. If I go back to the main menu, it says change cow. I'm like, cool, I could go to a different... They've got a XXXL cow and a furry cow. But you can't have any of them because you need to upgrade to the pro version. So I'm stuck with my one cow. There's a bit more as well. And if I go into that, it's just apps by the same developer. So it's full of adverts. It's crap. And even just milking the teats. You can't even... It'd be good if you could milk different animals. Like if you could milk a mouse or a wasp or something.
I have to say that the sound effects are quite impressive.
You should see it does tease out the length of the other sounds. If you could see what I could see right now, it's provocative, I tell you.
Does it have games and leaderboards so you can see who's milked for longest?
Sadly, no. I nearly milked myself dry earlier.
I think we're going to move on.
I'll keep milking it.
Ian, what's your skip this week?
Right. Well, the app I've chosen actually has very good reviews on the App Store, and it's very much a personal opinion here. It's called Shuffle Pup Cantina, and it's a game that was inspired by a Brodabun title called Shuffle Pup Cafe that was out in the late 80s and was really, really popular on Mac at the time. And it's basically air hockey. And the way you used to play it on the Mac was you used to move your mouse, and the mouse would move your paddle so that you would block the puck as your opponent hit it towards you. And that was great because you could flick around the mouse and you could kind of get it from side to side really quickly. The problem is when you try to play it on a touch screen, you have to move your finger really, really quickly across the touch screen. And your finger is not really designed for sliding really fast across the touch screen. One of the reviews I read said it made me want to put chalk on my finger so I could use it and make it slide faster.
Put WD-40 on your finger.
Sorry?
I don't condone that,
especially if your device is in warranty. It's an absolutely beautiful app. The production is beautiful. The music is great. The graphics are awesome. The sound is even better than that. But fundamentally, it's just really hard because it's the wrong kind of control mechanism to put on a touchscreen. And it's a real disappointment for me. It is, however, free, so if you want to try it out, be my guest. But I was just very frustrated because I wanted to recapture the glory days of Shuffle Puck Cafe, and this is not the app for that.
I'm just going to read out one of the reviews in Milk the Cow. a 5-star review. Awesome. I love it, although it is really hard. What are they hard about it?
I don't know. It must be a cold day because the teats are kind of firm.
Are you particularly thirsty or something there, Roddy?
Apparently, Misty Bluebell says, a hard game, but one of the best games I've played.
Despite there being no The timer's up to 2:27 now. Nothing's happened. Nothing will happen.
Oh, I've just found... I think you're supposed to fill the bucket.
You're kidding, right?
No.
There's no level in the bucket. I can't...
Because somebody said it got 3-star by... Well, it is really funny, but it takes ages to fill it up. That apart from...
Wait. It is.
This is amazing.
It is filling up. Oh, I'm going to get it to the brim. Oh, I'm exhausted. I can't do it.
Okay.
I really am. I'm going to have to have a lie down now. Oh, you can do two at once. That's disgusting.
That's what multi-touch devices are for, obviously.
Multi-teat. Paul, you're going
to do a link. So my one is called 40 Winks, which is actually Farmyard Relay as well. So basically, this is an app. It's free. It's in the App Store. And it advertises as, can't sleep? We might be able to help you. Click the sleep button below and start counting sheep. So basically what the idea of this is you're supposed to get this picture of a field of a sheep running across and jumping over a fence and carrying on, or certainly that's what the screenshots show. But when you tap sleep, you just get a grey screen with a big back button on it, and that's it.
Is it really calming, the grey screen?
No, it's just a grey screen.
Is it a metaphor?
No, well... I don't know, I don't really get it. I don't know if I'm, like, doing something wrong. I've, like, tapped and tweaked and pulled and absolutely nothing. It's just a complete waste of time. I'm glad it's only a...
To analyse your own perception of victory.
Perhaps. Anyway, it's rubbish. 40 Winks in the App Store. Anthony, do you have a skip for us?
Oh, God, yeah. This one's called Donut Maker, which was recommended to my son, who's less than 3 years old. And he loves it, and it's absolutely riddled with advertising, and it's awful. Just you get to bake some donuts. There's some fantastic reviews here. It says, great for kids, 5 stars. My girls always love baking things on their iPad. which is just wrong in so many ways.
It's handy if you can't find a baking tray.
It's a good donut.
Or flour or sugar or any kind of ingredient.
I see the same developers also have a milkshake maker, cake maker, cookie maker, pizza maker, candy maker, sundae maker, hot dog maker, cupcake maker.
You can see a theme going here, can't you?
I'm quite impressed with their industrious souls, I think. Bouquet maker. Christ.
It's dreadful. Dreadful.
Oh, you don't even get to eat the
salad maker.
Oh, man.
Really? Oh, fantastic.
Well. And is it free?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's I suppose that's a
it's something.
Small comfort. moving on. So now into the picks. We've trundled through the ennui of bulky buckets, and we are now at the pick section. So, Roddy, please tell us, what is your... to be honest, I kind of feel that your milk the cow could be both a pick and a skip.
I'm starting to think, now that I'm getting quite near the top of the bucket, and I think actually I'm starting to enjoy it. I feel slightly aroused as well, but that's maybe just me. So
what's your pick?
My pick is Need for Speed Most Wanted, which I've picked purely because it's so much better in my experience than the Xbox version. It's got pretty nice graphics for a iPhone racer. It does have very nice graphics. The control's quite nice. Again, it does the kind of almost constant acceleration thing. But its downsides are that you can crash into anything and you just slow down a bit. But it's a looker. You know, it's maybe not the best racer. I think is it Real Racing's meant to be very good?
Yeah.
But it's a looker. It was. I think I got it on a deal. It's $2.99 now. I think I got it cheap. And I did download the Need for Speed Most Wanted demo on the Xbox and could barely control the thing, so it's better than that. It has cars in it as well, and they go around the track.
Very
cool. Good.
So Need for Speed. Is that iPhone or iPad?
I think it's for both, but you need a 3GS if it's for the phone.
All right, okay. So you can't do it in a 5, no?
Sod it, I just want milk to cow now. Oh, look, you hear that? Moo, look, it's... You're on it as well.
Have you exhausted your cow?
I have. I got a time of 7 minutes and 9 seconds. Is there actually? I don't think there's Game Center. Oh, is Game Center connected? Mm. Right, you lot, what your times?
Roddy has milked the cow. It just came through. Roddy has milked the cow in 7 minutes, 9 seconds, and 43 milliseconds.
I've milked worse quicker.
And it mooed when it sent me the my phone
this
mood
as well.
Grant, Ian, what's your pick?
My pick this week, Paul, is called Hundreds, or as we call it here in Scotland, Hunters.
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 Exactly so. It's quite a clever little puzzle game. Basically, you have to tap the screen, and when you tap a little dot on the screen, as you hold your finger on it, it gets bigger. And as it gets bigger, then the number in it gets bigger as well. And you have to get the total on the screen in all the dots that you can hold your fingers on up to 100. And that's the game. Except that it then makes it hard by giving you like spikes and things. Also, if any of the dots touch anything, your fingers are on them, like when you're making them bigger, you lose, so you have to start again. And it's devilishly clever.
Have you played Orbital at all?
Oh yes, fantastic.
I can't actually, I there's something about Orbital, I just can't quite do it. It's not happening for me, but it seems sort of vaguely similar. It has spheres with numbers on them, and you have to get them to interact together. Orbital's worth a look as well, if you're bored.
Mm. See, in the Hunters game, is there some penalty to popping the little grey ones? You know, the little kind of bubbles?
The bubbles? No, no. They just don't get in your way if you do that.
Ooh, right, okay, so there's no negativity to doing that. Because I kind of thought, I could pop these and then it makes it easier. Surely there's some negative reaction.
I think in Game Center there's like a number of taps completing the game, but you have to get through all 100 levels to get to that, I think.
Fewest
total touches, lowest total time, and hundreds level progress. Those are the four things there.
Yeah, bursting them takes time, and time is valuable when you're trying to get a better score. So,
oh yes,
well, of course, yeah. Oh, okay. Mine is an app called Stowcard, and it was recommended very nicely off the back of the last show. So in the last show, I was moaning about the fact that my Nectar Card app didn't allow me to store my Nectar Card in it. And Scott J. Small tweeted to tell me that actually there is an app called Stowcard which does exactly that. So basically what it is it's a free app. You fire it up and you can then add store cards to it that then create little barcodes that can then be scanned in the shops. And they have tons of stuff there. You can put your Blockbuster card in, Bon Marché card, Costa, Debenhams.
You say your Blockbuster card?
Did you just say Bon Marché?
That's all use now, isn't it?
Can you put
your HMV card on it?
HMV's coming back. Your IKEA family card, your Lego VIP. I've got no idea what a Lego VIP card does. And of course your Nectar card, which is what I was moaning about in the first place.
Lego VIP sounds seedy. Mm. Get you into places normal Lego won't. It opens doors, little plastic doors.
But it's really cool. It's sort of disconcerting when you first of all open it up because it appears to be in German. But as soon as you open up, it then asks what country you live in. You change it to the UK and all the languages change. But I think it's a cool little app. Stowcard. And it also has a feature at the top, which I've not actually tested yet, but it allows you to put in other cards. So presumably, you just type in the code that's on the barcode, and then it would appear as another card in your list. But I've not tested that.
I like that. Just opened the iTunes link, and the top review says, absolute waste of space. Brilliant. It looks like a keeper there, Paul.
That's
the second one says great idea but common flawed execution.
But it seems that why would none of the cards I've added be scannable in any of the transactions I've tried? Well, you tried the Nectar card the other day and it worked fine. That's the only one I've actually tried, to be fair. But
I'm gonna have to try it out now just to publicly shame me. I'll go to Superdrug when I get my conditioner.
Anthony, do you have a pick for us?
I do. Last week with all the snow and everything, I'm sure some of you guys were caught up in rail disruptions, but I was up to Nottingham to a conference, and UK train times was very, very useful for me. So I'm going to plug Mr. Addy's app there. So the UK train times app by Gant. It's £5, I think, but it's £5 well spent.
Very cool, very cool. Grant, that's basically the show this evening, you'll be glad to hear. It's the first podcast, I think. I'm kind of hoping we can claim something here, the first podcast that had a successful milking of a cow live on air.
We should milk a different thing every week. Well, we're milking all this content, really.
Well, that's very true. So, very quickly, the horn, where can we get everybody? Roddy, where can they find you?
I'm RODTI on Twitter and AppNet, and also Game Center, if you want to play letterpress with me.
Mm-hmm. Ian, where can they find you?
I am Maniac Yak on Twitter, and I think also in Game Center, if you want to be spanked at Super Hexagon. Anthony, I have just Hexagonist to beat you on now.
Ah, good.
That's Maniacyak. He's 4 seconds ahead of me.
I'll do it. I'll get further.
Anthony, where can people find you?
So you can find me as AbitGone. That's AbitGone on Twitter, app.net, and most other social networks that are out there.
Cool. I am Paul Wheatley on Twitter. I'm not on app.net because... I don't know what I would say there that's different to what's saying on
Twitter.
They
wouldn't have you anyway.
Well, that's probably true, actually. Yeah. On Game Center, I'm ExtremeMonkey7. All one word. I'm not myself. So that's basically the show. If you want to send us anything in for the Trouble Gusset or anything else, if you want to just send us abuse, please do so at the previous Twitter handles or at British Tech. Or you can email the network britishtechnews@gmail.com.
I don't think we got any reviews this time, did we?
Oh, we never checked.
Did we not check? Send us more reviews.
Somebody
anyway.
Check. We're like, somebody check.
I'm while doing
like,
it now.
Just kind of pad at the end of the show. I'm so the final thing to say is we have the Bash. It's the 6th of July this year. It will be in Birmingham, somewhere around Birmingham. I believe the hall has been booked. So we'll be doing all the shows live from the hall. There should be booze. There should be food. I know that there is a number of people going. Basically, the whole guys from the Gamer Show are going. I've heard another couple of folk going. I believe some of us are pretending to go. Is that right, gents?
Sorry, I'm reading our reviews.
Do we have new ones? This is entertaining news. Please speed up.
I should hopefully be able to join you guys for that. If I only live a few miles away from Birmingham, so I'll be happy to make the trip up to that.
I'm hoping to be there, but I'm due to be going on a family holiday of some sort this year, and I'm not booking it, so I don't know when it's going to be yet.
Right. You'll be there, Roddy?
I will be there. I'll be drunk and suggestible.
So a few of us will be there, so you can get your hotels booked and everything like that. I believe the price is going up. I booked my hotel a couple of weeks ago, and it was £22, so it's the Castle Bromwich Hotel.
Can we have a live milking competition?
Just to mention, we've only got a few days left to vote for this show and all the other shows in the network, on the European Podcast Awards. So if you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com and at the top of the page there, you can click on the different shows to vote for them. Mm-hmm. So unless Roddy has found a recent review we can mention on the show.
We've got one by Laserbeam123. Great show, informative and humorous. I almost read that as hummus. Don't try the pot noodle recipe. It's vile. Lol.
Very good.
On that high note,
I'm going to bid you all adieu, and we will meet you again, same time, same place, in 2 weeks' time, and hopefully Streak will have fixed his cogs. Good night.
Ciao.
Bye.